Tonight we start in chapter 2 of 2 Peter. So if you will turn there, please. And as we study this, I have a few verses. I'd like, four people. I need four readers. And all of the verses are from the book of Acts. So Acts 26:5. Who's my first taker? Matt. As 26:5, Acts 5:17. Who will take? Okay, Steve. And Acts 28:22. Vaughn. And one more, Acts 24:14. Acts 24:14. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, Carol. All right. I'll get to you in just a minute there. This entire chapter 2, and tonight we'll probably get through four or five verses, the whole chapter is on false teachers and the false teaching that they carry. And so let's read a couple of verses to give you the context, and then we'll look at these. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And I could keep on reading. I hate to stop in the middle of a sentence, but this sentence that begins in verse 1 goes through verse 10, the first half of it. So that's one long sentence, almost 10 verses long, and it even has a parenthetical verse inside that as well. So we'll look at all of that piece by piece there. But it starts out by saying, but there were false prophets also. Now we know that but is a contrasting conjunction. So we know that there is a comparative statement to which he's comparing these false prophets there. And we go back to the previous chapter, and we know in the original giving of Scripture there were no chapter divisions. But if you go back to verse 21, where it talks about the Holy Spirit giving the Scriptures, it says, "But holy men of God spake." And now he says, but there's going to come some who are the opposite of holy there. And they are false prophets there. And it says, and they were. These false prophets were there, that is, with Israel, and they shall be and with you, the church. Remember on Wednesday or Sunday night when I was preaching from Isaiah, we saw on a verse where it talks about, uses the word nations and the word people. And people refers to the Jews and nation to Gentiles. Well, here we see the word people. It says there were false prophets also among the people. That is, among the Jews, Israel, there were false prophets even in those days, in the days of Isaiah and all the prophets of the Old Testament. And he says, just as sure as there were false prophets there, there are going to be false prophets in the church age there. And this phrase, false prophets, is the Greek word pseudo-prophetess. And we know pseudo means false there. And so in Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable where it talks about the farmer goes out there and he plants the seeds, and an enemy comes by and plants the tares. and the enemy that is there is Satan there. And so this evil growth in that parable was caused by Satan. And Satan today, he has a lot of false prophets. Now, not just those that are involved in Satanism and those that are intentionally serving Satan, but there are some that are pawns in his hands, and they're not even aware of it there. And Satan is very powerful and very deceptive, and that's what he wants to do. He has a specific goal in mind, and he has these pseudo teachers here, these false teachers. It says in verse 1, at the very beginning, false prophets. That's pseudo prophetess. Then he says there are also false teachers. And that Greek word is pseudo didaskalos. And so didactic teaching is the word we get from this word. There are those who are false prophets, both in the sense of predicting the future and in proclaiming messages, as we sometimes say, foretelling and forthtelling. Both of those aspects are involved in prophecy. But also there are those who are false teachers there. And so these teachers, they are not in accord with the Word of God. And there are many of those today, as you are certainly well aware. But notice where they are, that prepositional phrase. It says, among you. There are false prophets among the people, even there will be false prophets among you. So right in the middle of Christians, there are false teachers. And so that's why we have to know the truth, and we have to know the Word of God. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, because Satan is very deceptive, and he makes his lies look appealing. And he'll even mix a little truth in with the error so it's not so obvious. If Satan's lies were so obvious to us, nobody would believe them and follow them there. And so these false teachers are among you. And then it goes on to say they privily shall bring in damnable heresies there. And that word privily bring in means to bring in alongside. And so these false teachers and prophets, they're not bringing in doctrines to replace the truth. They're bringing in false teachings that will just go right alongside the truth there and kind of interweave with the truth there to deceive people there. Remember the verse in Jude, in verse 4, in that book, it says that that they are crept in unawares there. And so that is very sneaky, not to be noticed. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make it sneaky, and so nobody will notice there. And then he uses the word heresies. He says these false teachers are right among you. They're teaching doctrines not to replace what you have, but they are trying to say ours is not any different. Think about Mormonism. You know, and it's a cult, and there are false teachings there, but they have some things that they believe that we believe as well. So their error comes right along beside the truth. So they're trying to mix the two together to dilute the Word of God there. And so it says they bring in these heresies here. Damnable is the word that's used in our King James, and that word means destructive. And so these teachings that are coming, they're right alongside the truth, but they're destructive. And the word heresies is what we're going to focus on with these verses I've asked you to read there. And the word translated heresies is a word that has to do with choosing. A choice has to do with opinions there. And so when you start asking, well, what's your opinion of creation? What's your opinion, you know, of abortion? And people start giving it there, they're going to choose what they want to believe rather than accepting what God has said. And that's what heresy is, when we start choosing our own way rather than choosing the way that God has said. And so in Acts chapter 26, this word is used, and Matt has that one, 26 verse 5. It says, after the greatest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And the word sect is the same word that we have here, heresy. And so that word is referring to the Pharisees. And notice how they added their own teachings alongside the law there. Acts chapter 5, verse 17. And they're the sect of the Sadducees. And they, of course, they're another group of people that didn't believe exactly like the Pharisees. Remember, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They had some teachings that were agreeable to God's law, but they had some things that were error there. Next is Acts chapter 28 and verse 22. And there, they are referring, they're talking about Christianity, and they're referring to Christianity as a sect here, but we know that it's not heresy, it's the truth, but the opposition was calling it false. So we know that those who are false teachers and false prophets today, who are bringing error right alongside the truth, what are they going to say about what we're teaching? They're going to say that it's false there. The next one is Acts 24:14. Carol will read, and it's also a reference to Christianity.
But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, leaving all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
And there it's translated heresy again. The way that they call heresy there. And so they're calling the believers heresy for the way they believe. And so here, Peter says these teachings, these heresies, it says they are very destructive. Then it goes on to define it even more by saying, even denying the Lord that bought them. And the word denying is a word that just means to take away. And it's a present participle. So they are constantly, repeatedly taking away the lordship of Christ, that he is not God, he's not the Lord there. And Titus chapter 1 uses a phrase that in works they deny him. So there are some that deny the Lord in their works, there are some that deny the Lord in their teachings, and they bring it right alongside the Word of God. The word Lord here, usually when we see the word Lord referring to Jesus, it's the Greek word Kurios there, and it has to do with a master-slave relationship. This is a different word. It's a Greek word, despotin, despot there, and this has to do with absolute authority there. And so here they're saying that they're denying the absolute authority, and that's what we believe, isn't it? We have an absolute authority. We have the truth. God is truth, and he's given us his word, and his word is authoritative. And if God's word says it, that's what we believe. God, you know, we don't believe in evolution and the Big Bang Theory and things happened millions of years ago. Regardless of what the scientists say they've discovered and show us, God's word is infallible. There. So they're denying the Lord that bought them. God bought them. And of course, we know that 1 Peter, we saw that a few weeks ago in chapter 1. What was the price? It was the precious blood of Christ. He bought them. He died and paid the ultimate price on the cross. And then it goes on to say that they bring upon themselves swift destruction. Self-inflicted destruction. So remember the word to choose. They have their opinion. They make their choice. Well, they are free to make that choice, but they're not free to choose the consequences of their choice. And so the consequence of choosing error is destruction. This word destruction at the end of verse 1 is the exact same word that was translated damnable earlier in verse 1. And so, and even though these false teachers and prophets come in and they're trying to destroy believers and they're trying to destroy the work that Christ did on the cross, but they never will. They will fail at that. Christ will certainly prevail there. And it says this destruction is swift. And don't confuse that word with the word soon, because the false teachers that are bringing in this heresy, they're not destroyed soon after they come into the church. But whenever their destruction comes, I think about what the Bible says at the end times when Jesus comes back riding on that horse and with the word of his mouth, you know, he's going to slay them in a moment like that. That's swift. And that's what it's talking about here, the speed there with which the destruction comes there. And that word destruction or damnable as we see it here is the Greek word apalia. Apo, the front of it, means away from. And so this destruction is carrying everything away from. It's utter, complete destruction. And their lives are totally destroyed because they're following error. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth, to stand for the truth, to teach the truth, because anything other than the truth is totally destructive, and that's what Satan is all about. Christ has come to build us up and to save us and edify and strengthen and encourage. Satan comes along to do all the opposites, to destroy there. Now, verse 2. Notice many. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. They are successful there. And oftentimes the people that follow these errors are people that are weak, maybe spiritually, certainly, maybe weak educationally, weak physically, emotionally, and they're like the stray sheep, and Satan kind of goes after that. That's what the wolves go after, you know, the sheep that stray away. And so here, many shall follow there. And so here, this era is coming right alongside church people. And so it's not like he's dragging the out-and-out sinners, as we say, the wicked among the wicked, but right among the church, he's doing that. And many people in Christendom, as we would call it, not necessarily true believers, many of them there are attracted by these teachings, whether it's teachings of emotionalism or it's some new doctrine, you know, that you get tired of hearing the same things over and over, and somebody comes up with a new truth. The Bible talks about those having itching ears, like to hear something new. It's very similar to with the gossip kind of thing, you know, where people like to hear that. And it says that their ways are pernicious here. And that word has to do with being licentious or immoral there. And so heresy, heretical teaching, doesn't always have immorality and that kind of licentious conduct involved in it, but oftentimes it does. In this very chapter, look at the verses, and I'll just point out a few of them here having to do with immoral activity or sensual activity. Verse 7, it says they delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean only Lot. It's the justified Lot. He was justified from sin and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So there's that filthy conversation. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness there. And verse 12, but these as natural brute beast there. And that has to do with sensual thinking and living as well. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Again in verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought to bondage. So there are many verses having to do with immorality or licentious living. And oftentimes, that's what false teachers will do. They will do that. When you look at our nation, America as a whole, there's a lot of sensual teachings there. Or sometimes, as the world uses that phrase, sex appeal kind of thing. That's not a compliment to the believer. That kind of takes us back to Proverbs when it talks about the attire of a harlot kind of thing. And so the Bible has other words to describe godly living. Listen to this quote from John Lilly, 1869, 150 years ago, commentary John Lilly, and referring to hear those two words where it says by reason here in verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason, of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. He said, no doctrine, however senseless and monstrous, which under the guise of a religious faith ministers to the sensual appetites of men, will ever lack followers. And so if you minister to the sensual drive of mankind, you'll have plenty of followers. And so we see that in false teachings here. And he talks about the way of truth here. It says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of there. Notice the other word way in this verse. What kind of way is there other than the way of truth? Pernicious ways. It was cold in here, was it, when I first got here? And I see Dina's fanning, and now it seems to get a little bit warm in here. I turned the air off when I came in because it was so cold in here. Well, we got about 10 more minutes. Maybe we'll endure that. I'm getting a little warm too. So anyway, we have two ways here. Pernicious ways and also the way of truth there. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life there. And so the scripture talks a lot about the way of truth. Psalm 119 verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. And here comes that choice again, your opinion. And some people will choose heresy, but God's Holy Spirit leads us into truth. And when we choose the word of truth, the way of truth, and so true believers, genuine born again believers, who know the Lord, and only the Holy Spirit can know those who are true, genuine believers. But whenever a true, genuine believer is shown the Word of God, and from God's Word they point out that this doctrine that you believe is error, or this behavior you're involved in is sinful, true believers are going to say, I see that. And I want to make that right. Those that are not true believers will often, you know, they'll do like we saw up here before. They're going to go with heresy. They're going to choose their own way and say, I don't like that, so that's not the way I interpret that. That's not what it says. But someone who wants to please God and be true to His Word, when he is shown error, he wants to correct it. And because that's the new nature that God gives to us. It's new desires to please Him there. And so the way of truth in verse 2, as they come along and put their error side by side with the way of truth, then it says the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's a really long word in the Greek there. But it starts with the word blaspheme. It's I wrote it down. Blasphemethesatai is the word for that. Evil spoken of. It means to revile and shame and to speak evil of here. The word of truth. And today, there is a lot of tolerance for religion, especially for Islam, you know, maybe out of fear or whatever. But the way of truth, if we stand for the word of God, and we, once I repeat over and over again, because they're the most obvious creation, you know, abortion, and certain lifestyles, the scripture speaks truthfully on those. But whenever we take a stand for righteousness, then we're criticized and condemned and called intolerant and hate speech, as they call it. And that shouldn't surprise us, because right here in verse 2, it says that the way of truth will be evil spoken of. And if we are in the way of truth, Jesus is the truth, and we're living that truth and we're speaking that truth, don't be surprised when pernicious people, corrupt people with error, they come in to blaspheme our way of living, our theology, our narrow-mindedness, our intolerance, our hate speech. Don't be surprised, because Jesus says, you know, they hated him, and they're going to do the same for us. And there is a lot of that today in so-called Christian churches. And you see it, error that's there. And so our obligation and responsibility should never be to an institution. I'm glad all of you are here, and I'm glad this church has been here for over 100 years and the school for 46 years teaching the Word of God and truth. But if this pulpit ever starts teaching error, your responsibility is to either get a new pastor or leave and go somewhere where the truth is. The word of truth, we can't compromise that. We must hold forth the word of truth, because those who don't, remember the words in verse 1, damnable and destruction, utterly complete destruction. Now verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The word covetousness simply means a desire for more. And false teaching and false teachers, there's covetousness involved in there. They want more. Whether it's more money or more control, more power, more followers, they want more. But a true servant of the truth of the Word of God, he's not there for personal gain, not for filthy lucre, as the scripture calls it there. And so, of course, the Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire, but the true minister of God is not there for covetousness there. And so it says, we know the love of money is the root of all evil, and that guides a lot of these false teachers too. It says, through covetousness shall they with words. You know, words are powerful. And they can be convincing. And they have these erroneous words, these prophets that are false and these teachers that are false. They have feigned words here. The word feigned is the Greek word plastois, plastic. If you ever studied about the invention of plastic when they started making all the plastic straws, some of you remember paper straws? You know, it's like you're trying to drink a milkshake out of a plastic straw, and you suck on that thing, and the straw just caves in. You feel like your whole head's caving in, too, trying to suck through those paper straws. And they came up with plastic straws. And the word plastic means molded. And so they had, molding these machines where they poured these straws, and they made these plastic straws. And so the idea of feigned words are words that are fabricated and molded with a very specific purpose in mind. And that purpose is, of course, to deceive and gain more followers here. So it says, and through their covetousness, they come in with fake words with molded words, feigned words. They're artificial there to lead people astray. Hold your place here and go back to chapter 1 of 1 Peter for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Just a few pages back. It says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." And so when you think about that word fake or feigned or plastic or moldable, here's one that is a love that is not that way. It's not fake. It doesn't have ulterior motives there. It's not plastic there. It's real. It's genuine. And going back to verse 3 now to finish up this verse before we close. "And through covetousness, a desire for more, they have these plastic molded words with a design, and their words are formed just right, deceiving the hearts of the simple," we read in Romans there. It says, "With feigned words, they will make merchandise of you," and so make a profit. So they're not concerned with the welfare of the sheep. They're going to just, get all the wool they can and shear the sheep. Then it goes on to say, "Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." And so there's another word of judgment here, destruction there. And this is the third reference to destruction in these three verses here. And so it says, "It slumbereth not, their damnation slumbers not," and has to do with nodding and sleep. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who never slumbers nor sleeps? And all of these false teachers, they're not catching the Lord by surprise. And one of these days, the Lord is going to come back, and all the false teachers, all the false prophets, they're going to be destroyed swiftly. It's going to be so quick, they won't have a chance to fight back. And before I close, let's look at that little phrase, "now of a long time," in verse 3. It says, "whose judgment now of a long time lingers not." And so their judgment is not new. The judgment that God has pronounced against these people, he pronounced it from the very beginning. We were chosen in salvation from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world. And God has planned to judge all of these false teachers as well. And so it's not new, and it's coming, and we don't rejoice in the fact that people are going to be judged and damned to hell for all eternity. We have a responsibility to give them the truth. Notice I didn't say to convince them of the truth. That's the Holy Spirit's job, isn't it? Our job is to give them the truth, even if they have pernicious ways against us and they want to make merchandise of us. We don't let that stop us. We hold to the truth. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the warnings of all of these false prophets and false teachers in Scripture, and we know that there are many. And we thank you that you have given us the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And it's with these two gifts that we're able to look at words and see if they are edifying words or if they are pernicious and destructive words that are used to destroy us. Help us to rely on your Spirit and your Word to guide us into truth, not just to know it, but to live it and stand for it in this dark world of false teaching. In Christ's name, amen.